Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA. What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
I hope you've poured yourself something good this morning.
I'm ready.
Yeah?
I'm so ready. Yes.
I'm almost afraid to ask what you're drinking here on a Tuesday morning.
All right, Dennis. So stop me if you heard this one. Uh-huh. So I am drinking Cafe Bustelo.
I've heard the name.
Yes. Uh-huh. So I hope you're sitting down.
Yeah.
This is instant coffee.
Instant coffee. Oh, instant my God. Coffee. We're going to have to close up the show now.
No. But let me tell you how I fix it up.
Uh-huh.
So what I do is, of course, I, boil the water. And then what I do is, before I add the instant coffee to the water,
mm-hmm.
I like to add, have you heard of like dulce de leche? Basically, it's like caramel.
Yeah, I think I have. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So what I do is I take maybe like 2 or 3 teaspoons of that.
Okay.
And then put it in the hot water and let it dilute.
Mm-hmm.
And then I add the maybe 2 or 3 more tablespoons of the Cafe Bustelo.
Okay.
And then I add maybe 1 or 2 tablespoons of heavy whipping cream.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's how. Yeah. Yeah.
That
and then
the is fancy
the
coffee.
After hours version has the Kahlua.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, you've got some fancy coffee going on there. That's one of those things that. Now, I admittedly did not get into coffee as a young person, and I think it's just because when you grow up with two parents who drink coffee pretty much straight, black, nothing in it ever,
okay.
Not because of economics as far as I know, but who knows, but drink it all day and night.
Okay.
I think the smell of coffee in the household and having to make thousands of pots of coffee after a time, you're just not interested. So even in college, really never got into it. Grad, okay. Undergrad, it wasn't until, maybe even 10 years ago, just once in a while I'd have it. And mm-hmm. So I still teeter back and forth on whether to just get it as is or put okay. something into it. You know, I didn't learn the method that, your average 16-year-old learns, which is a little bit of coffee and topped off with sugar and other things.
all the extras.
Exactly.
Now, did anything change, when, Starbucks started becoming more popular?
Yes.
Or like
yes.
the other type of, coffee shop?
It really did because I would go with a friend to the Glendale Galleria, and when Target opened up, and had a little Starbucks inside. Usually that'd be like the end of the mall we either started or ended on. Mm-hmm. I would get something. And I always, if you're just kind of walking around and having fun, just to have like a regular coffee seems like you're cheating yourself in life. So mm-hmm. I would get some kind of like hazelnut toffee something with whipped
okay. cream,
I wouldn't be the one that got the the full amount of whipped cream on top or anything, but it certainly was a high caloric coffee drink for
okay.
sure.
Okay. So then did you, what's your favorite when you go?
Well, it probably is something like a hazelnut something.
So you like flavored coffee?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Or I will go with the sweetened iced tea at the
yes.
Starbucks.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Usually really an extra good. Pump or two, just because yeah. I like to keep mixing it up and trying to get like an equal balance so that it's not a case of the first few sips are super sugary and then at the end yeah. it's just iced tea. I kind of like an even balance.
So one of my favorites is the the passion tea lemonade.
Okay.
And so Dennis. So I like to do like 10 pumps.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That sounds very Dana-esque. From what we've talked about before on
that sounds like diabetes.
Yeah. Dana, sometime at some point, I know this show is called What's Brewing, C-Sweats. We record it in the morning. We talk about coffee. But at some point, we're going to have an intervention here and talk about your over pumping on your coffee.
Yeah.
And your ranch dressing issue.
Oh, that's a whole nother show.
That's what I'm saying. Ranch dressing. That might that'll be the midday what's in your salad seats for show.
Man.
Yeah.
Good grief.
I hate to, bring that up, But how are you doing, Dana? We are here on a Tuesday morning. For our district, at least, we are talking about fall semester is kicked off. That's why it's good that you had some coffee this morning. And we're 2 days in. How are you feeling about this whole new venture of working from home and working with students remotely?
So far so good. Like you said, yesterday was the first day. And I'm not going to lie, it's different. And I had to say a prayer for myself and for all of us, because one thing I do miss, Dennis, is, usually, the first day or at least the first week of the start of semester, you and Marisol, you bring us bagels and goodies.
Oh, yeah.
Snacks and stuff to keep us motivated because we know that, we're going to give it our 110%, for our students. Because, we know that the lines get a little hectic and. It's just the nature of the start of the fall semester.
Oh, it is.
So I was, I was kind of reflecting on that and, kind of remembering that. And I missed that the other day. But, it's okay. It's okay. But it is different. It's different.
Yeah, I kind of miss that, too. I also kind of miss, when you're in the middle of a semester and things are rolling along, kind of when we left, right? We're in the middle of our spring and all. Mm-hmm. It's a different world of action, but. When you start a semester, especially a fall or a spring, you have a different sense, in my mind, of camaraderie. I tend to notice more of the other people from other departments and say hi a little more and, check in on them. Information desk people right near our office, admissions people, EOP, counseling, and other departments, because it feels more of a collaborative environment that you're trying to connect with each other. Because you've got new students and you've got new concerns and you want to make sure that you're keeping students there and they're connected. And, also the whole thing of, when we walk up from the parking structure to the office, inevitably, especially the first couple of days, you would have students asking you, where is this building or where is that building, right? Mm-hmm. And on our campus,
Absolutely. It
was not funny, but it was always the student who had walked around a little bit and couldn't find our Center for Math and Science.
And
that's because down this, we call it East Campus. It's about a third of a mile straight down the road from us. The only thing in between are a bunch of trees and a golf course, but they would be on our main campus, which isn't huge anyways. And we'd have to go, it's down on the East Campus. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't have 15 minutes or more, it'd be like, if you drove and parked near the main campus, you may want to go park down there.
Oh, man. Absolutely.
I remember a lot of that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've had to actually drive a couple of students
to really?
East campus before.
Wow. I got it.
Like you said, you run into them and they're frantic because their class has started 5 minutes ago. And they're looking for, like you said, this building that's literally almost half a mile away from the main campus.
Exactly.
So
I mean,
come on, just hop in. Let me just drive you on down the street.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fast walker, but it took me like 20 minutes one day when I walked from a meeting down there all the way back to the main campus.
Yeah. It's definitely a walk. So like you're saying, yes, definitely the camaraderie, the community, and I miss the newbie. So like the freshly graduated high school students, their first impression of, the college environment and like you said, helping them navigate that. but making it a smooth transition, you know, exactly. And a pleasant one.
I mean, yeah. The nice thing is, you know, our college isn't huge. It's got a theme to it. It's interesting. I've worked at two community colleges here in California for the last 20 some years, and both of them have kind of that Spanish influence theme. And most of the buildings on both campuses have that, have real connectedness to it. Nothing against mm-hmm. our brethren campuses across the state, because even our campus has some modern looking buildings, mm-hmm. but it doesn't look like a hodgepodge of buildings where, you know, I have some campuses that have been around a long time. And so they have buildings from the 20s and the 30s mm-hmm. mixed in with the modern, mixed in with the buildings built during the lean years, where you've got kind of that 1960s staid architecture of concrete blocks and things that don't quite lend themselves to being a pretty campus. But so many campuses luckily have, you know, gone about, you know, looking at how they do that. But I kind of miss that too. Just, you know, being able to walk around campus, check yeah. in on people, see the new mm-hmm. students, you know, and again, it's an adjustment, you know, especially an adjustment this year for so many people who may not have gone off to 4-year schools, have selected us or are still selecting us. Our normal students who come to us, ages 18 to 80, we know we have everyone all over the map, and that's great. But yeah, it's been different. So I'm hoping you're doing well, and all our friends at all the other community colleges in the district across the state are doing well and adjusting well. We'll probably make some segments out of this as we go through this year about different ways to cope, different ways to adjust. And I think in some of our interviews, as we get rolling on these interviews, one of the questions I kind of would like to ask is, you know, like, what's one thing you have done or implemented that's helped make the adjustment either for your students and or your staff that much better while we're in these virtual times?
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's one of those things I really would like to, you know, kind of explore. So, yeah, our fall semester, here it is. I hope everyone else across the state and everywhere else is having a good time, you know, and welcome your students, you know. Again, I don't know if everyone's numbers are up or down or whatever, but, you know, we gotta take our students where they're at. You know, our vice president, Larry, has always talked about, you know, our students ready for college may not be the approach we really want to think about. Are we ready for our students? You know.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, you know, because we're community college, so we're open access. We're getting individuals from all walks of life, mm-hmm. you know. So, like, I think that is an excellent approach, because not everybody learns the same. Everybody comes from a different type of background mm-hmm. and history. So that is that. And I think that is very student service oriented, that type of approach.
I think that's where he was coming from. And I think it bore itself out when we look at the changes we've done across the state as far as, you know, we used to have this massive placement, you know, testing that we would do for English and math. You know, everyone had an assessment center and students would test and they would find out they're in a low math and it would take them that much longer. And then you looked at the success rate that if I had to take 3 remedial math classes, my odds of just getting through the math were horrible, just on numbers, and graduating were horrible. So we switched to a whole new method about thinking about our students and doing letting them do a little more self-reflection on where they're at, mm-hmm. doing away with remedial classes and, in a sense, throwing them to the wolves with support, of course, you know, support structures for them, but mm-hmm. taking a new approach to remedial education so that we can lower the number of classes a student takes, get them through faster, offer them the academic supports, and hopefully raise our graduation rates. And I think we've seen a lot of that over the last few years make some very marked improvements.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wonder how I would have fared under that or sure. under this new system. Because when I was a community college student, that's exactly what happened to me is, you know, unfortunately my high school experience didn't prepare me for college mm-hmm. level work. So I assessed really low. I believe I assessed for math like in 115 and okay. then like and yeah, English that's about 21. 2 to 3
steps below.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it did. It took me, I had to repeat for sure. I had to repeat math 115 and English 21 twice. And I had to repeat, I think it was math 125 and English 28 twice wow. as well. Yeah.
Wow. You know our remedial classes really, really well. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm happy to say, everyone, Dana made her way through.
Man.
And got her not only her undergrad, but her graduate degree. But wow. Yeah, I understand completely. And so,
yeah. I was going to say, Dennis, and I lived in that tutoring lab. I had good instructors. You know, it just, like I said, unfortunately, because of the type of learner that I am, and like I said, I didn't have the fundamentals graduating mm-hmm. high school, unfortunately. Yeah. At the time.
Absolutely.
So it was just the system, you know, when I was there. But like I said, it would be interesting to see if I could go back in time, get in my Bill and Ted telephone booth.
New movie coming out soon.
And go back in time and see how I would fare again.
Sure.
With this new system.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll talk more about this in a future episode as far as the whole idea of are we ready for our students instead of our students ready for us. But until then, Dana, let's take a short musical interlude before we move into our second cup pour here for the day.
And welcome to our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISPA show.
Do a little top off there for yourself, you know, and
ooh, thank you.
Get into thank things you. Here.
And you know what? Let me hit it with with some dulce de leche.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Get that thing all sugared up for yourself there, as I would say. Yeah.
No, but seriously, you're right though. I gotta lay off that sugar. I gotta lay it off.
Ah, Dana. Well, let's talk about something that you could apply your coffee, your sugared coffee to, which is being ready for and open to some new training opportunities this month. You know, I know this is a busy time for many, but luckily to our fellow castmates here in the financial aid world over at CASFA. And CISPA sends this out regularly too. CASFA just sent out their monthly listing of free training opportunities. And I think you probably saw the list. Was there anything there that you thought might be interesting for our people?
Yeah. So you can learn about how America plans and pays for college, presented by Sally May on Thursday, September 10th. The link to sign up for this webinar will be included in our show notes.
Yeah, I saw it. It's a real long link. So don't worry, everybody. We'll include that. another one, and this one I thought might be interesting to you because you, Dana, not are just a regular employee at the college, but you also are our scholarship coordinator in the office.
Yes, I am.
And so ECMC, you know, a former guarantee agency, now they offer a lot of training and other software options for schools. They're offering a webinar titled Leveraging Scholarships to Reduce Reliance on Student Loans. It sounds interesting. So the webinar is planned for Wednesday, September 30th. So you got plenty of time to plan for that one. We'll include a link in the show notes of how to sign up for this one, but it's pretty easy. It's ecmc.org/schools/training.html. And again, we'll include that link in the show notes. And there's just a variety of other things. I saw something here on the FAFSA Toolkit Express from Inceptia on learning about the FAFSA. I saw something about managing remote teams. So there's a lot of stuff, not just for frontline workers, but for those who might be supervisors or directors. Gets a lot of opportunities here coming up in September. Another one I saw was technology lighting the torch for virtual student success. Hopefully we can do that and keep students successful. And then lastly, I saw one that was creating student engagement through social media. I don't know about that. What do you think about that? Do we think we really need to connect students more with social media? I don't know.
Absolutely. That is the platform if you want to connect with students. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm just concerned here. How we're going to fit ourselves in between all the wonderful semi-newsy things and cat videos that they're all watching. Are you not a cat person, a cat video person?
You know, I'm allergic to cats, Dennis.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So you're a puppy, puppy videos?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Maybe not puppies, but just, I specifically, oh, Lord, here we go. Down okay. The rabbit hole.
Tell me.
I love to YouTube videos of Alaskan huskies or just any
okay.
type of huskies.
All right.
Because they're so, I don't know, they have their own little personalities and.
They have an interesting look.
They're like
look,
little mini right? humans. Like, they're on yeah. their level.
No, they got an interesting look to themselves.
They do. And then, again, just their personalities.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't bark. They howl when they're talking to you. Like,
oh, really?
They're just interesting. Right. They're interesting.
No, I fault nobody for their videos. The ones that I was watching that were interesting, we have a coworker. We won't use her name. But one time I was talking to her about pets and all, not that she has this, but she was talking about one day trying to maybe get a miniature pig. Now, yes. So I was like, I ought to go out and see what those yes. are talking about. So officially there is no such thing as a miniature pig. There are pigs that okay. start small, but okay. even those smallest ones will grow to 150 pounds.
Whoa.
On average.
Okay.
So
okay.
you get about 6 months of these. But the videos that are out there, if you look for it, is like cute miniature pigs. So when they're small, like a foot long.
Yeah, of course. They're adorable. But when they get, like you said,
but,
reach that, you know, that weight.
That when they're trying to, you know, give them a bath or they're scratching their belly like a cat. And they'll just sit there and they're like sleep. They seem to sleep a lot. So they'll sleep and they'll snort a little bit like... And they're just sleeping and getting scratched. But they run fast. They show them like running around backyards and it gets like scooting all over the place. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
So
wow. how much do you think that would set us back?
You know, that I don't know. But we would need some backyard space. I think we would have to definitely find some backyard space for a miniature pig. You know,
it sounds like it too.
Yeah.
Also for my huskies. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and for your huskies too. And they do get along well with other animals, especially once they get big. You know, once they're like 150 pounds, that's a lot. That's like a big dog at that point. But they're down low to the ground.
Okay.
But they do. Okay. It was just interesting what miniature pigs turn into. Unlike dwarf rabbits, which was the other choice of this coworker, dwarf rabbits will stay small.
So okay.
A tiny rabbit can stay a tiny rabbit. Yes, exactly. Well, before we move on to our last segment, let's talk just a little bit for those we've been talking about this coming up. But we have our first interview set for Friday. So, ooh-hoo. You know, we won't say who, but we should think about, are there any good questions we want to make sure we either give this person or all of the people that we see coming through? Have you thought about anything on that? Work or personal or otherwise? It doesn't have to even be a gotcha question, but hey, that'd be even more fun, right?
That would be. For this individual, yes, I think it would be fun.
Yeah. Okay, so we should try some gotcha questions with this person?
I think
person?
We should. We
okay.
Should.
Well, we'll think about that, and during this week, before we get to Friday, we'll definitely go forward with some ideas on some questions. But until then, let's get ourselves out of this segment and into our last sip segment. Let's throw a little music out there for people. All right, Dana, and we are here and we are back with our last sip segment. Get that last part in. Yes.
There we go.
Oh, it's a double sip. Who knew?
Oh.
Wow.
The double.
Now we're ready.
So, now, okay.
So I think I was going to ask you, did you, we didn't do one last week as much as we thought we would, but I'm wondering if you have any I Dare You To parts for us today, a segment or two or an idea out there.
I sure do. Yeah. And this one I've been thinking about. So before I go into it, it's just it's a small little story. So yes.
Go ahead. We got 3 minutes or so.
We got time. 3 minutes. I can share my story real quick.
Absolutely.
Before I do the I Dare You.
Sure. You got 3 minutes total. Otherwise this becomes an extended version. Don't worry. Take your time.
Oh man. So I was thinking, since we're here at home. I don't know, out of the blue, Dennis, I was thinking, where was I this time last year?
Okay.
And come to find out, yes, around this time last year, I had gone to a Roots concert.
Okay.
At the Hollywood Bowl.
Okay.
Some friends. And they were celebrating their the 20th anniversary of their Things Fall Apart album.
Okay.
And the opening band was the Christian McBride Big Band.
Mm-hmm. I have a number of his CDs. Fantastic
he's,
music.
He's awesome. Awesome, Dennis. And so do you know who Jose James is? Does he ring a bell to you?
Name sounds somewhat familiar.
If you heard him, I think you would know who he is.
Okay.
So he actually sang with the Christian McBride Big Band when they opened for the Roots. And Dennis, this man, I had never heard of him before until I saw him. And I mean, as soon as he opened up his mouth, Dennis, like the soul and the power just coming out of him was amazing. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It was like he like electrified the audience.
Okay. Okay.
And then even the way that he was dressed, he just had that swag. He just had it. He had it all.
All right.
But anyways, at the time, so this was last year, he was plugging one of his albums, and it's a tribute album actually to Bill Withers, which he passed away this year in March. But the name of so my dare you is to check out Jose James's album Lean On Me, the tribute album to Bill Withers.
Okay, definitely send me the link to that. We will put that into the show notes for sure. That sounds interesting. Yeah.
And then of course always. Got to check out the Roots if you hadn't, if you haven't heard Things Fall Apart.
That's the Mr. Questlove back there in the rhythm section, right?
Yes.
Yes, I've seen and heard him a number of times, including on one of your earlier I dare you to watch the NPR Tiny Desk thing.
Oh, yeah. Their episodes are in my top.
Yeah.
In my top to watch.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yes. All right. Well, Dana, we are at that point again. It's about all the time that we have today, but there's always our next episode. So I want to thank our co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing, CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, remember to check out the CISFA website at cccsfaaa.org. That's cccsfaaa.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
And for this and all future WBC podcasts, that's What's Brewing CISFA, and our old podcasts too, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And you can always find episodes at wbccsfa.podbean.com. That's wbccsfaaa.podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean is one word.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
And this has been episode number 16, recorded the morning of Tuesday, September 1st, 2020. Have a great day.
And have a great week.